We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Grassroots marketing on CannabisRadio.com continues. And it is powered by the Buzz CRM. Now, you know I've talked about this for months here on the program. Offering you 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing. It's the Buzz CRM, your all-in-one solution. Handles your email, social media, personalized workflows, and also helps you connect with customers everywhere. Also, we include our unique missed call text back feature. So I got some good news. The folks at Buzz CRM are already telling us right now, you know, there's been a lot of demand about, okay, we want to learn more about the Buzz. We want to go and get a trial run at this. We want to get under the hood and really figure out what this is all about. Well, we are going to start hosting free webinars for all of you to get a chance to go ahead and learn more about the Buzz CRM. Before you go ahead and sign up, before you buy, you get a chance to go ahead and get under the hood, ask any questions with our team, support questions, all that you want to go and know. But again, you'll get to also take a look inside the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM, built with you in mind, intuitive, faster, more, and smarter than ever. It sees your worth. It streamlines your workflows, gives you tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. You don't need all the platforms, and you don't need all the outdated platforms. Trust me, I go through consolidating all the time on platforms. You should do the same right now. The Buzz CRM is what I use. You can do the same. Go ahead and go right now. Find out for yourself. You don't have to wait for the webinars. If you want, stay tuned. We'll tell you more about it in the coming months and weeks and days. But if you want to just go ahead and buy, give it a test run, find out for yourself. It's not just a redesign. It's a revolution. TheBuzzCRM.com today. TheBuzzCRM.com. And on the program with me right now, I'd like to go and welcome the co-founder and chief compliance officer of The Artistry, which has been redefining the cannabis shopping experience by creating art gallery-inspired dispensaries. I'm here with Lauren Fontaine. Lauren, thanks for being on with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So thank you again for being on with us. And in California, so you launched in 2019 The Artistry in West Hollywood, and it was is now expanded to 8 retail locations, 2 in Los Angeles' only, the 2 of only LA's only cannabis lounges. And your approach not only distinguishes The Artistry in a competitive market, but also serves as a platform for supporting artists and celebrating the creative synergy between cannabis and artistic expression. Really great stuff. And before that, you entered the medical cannabis sector in 2009, started a gourmet cannabis edibles company. So very well entrenched, many years into the space. And I want to ask you, first of all, before you did all that, you were in corporate law. And then you decided to transition to cannabis edibles in 2009, where less regulation in the industry, and also edibles was not even that big of a palate in dispensaries at that point, or even just a matter of in product lines at that point. I mean, we were still very infancy ages, you could say. And when you spoke with the folks at Green State, you mentioned seeing the potential for a more sophisticated cannabis experience. So the significant regulatory hurdles you went through in those early days, everything being so infancy, so new, so fresh, and even understanding compliance. So your work in law obviously made you say, well, you want to go by the book. Talk about what you decided to go and do, which created eventually Artistry, this whole transition. Give me a little bit of more, just fill in the blank for me.
Sure. So, you know, it's been a long road getting to this point, and I have been in the industry now for, we're in 2025, so 16 years. Yeah. And like you said, I started as a corporate attorney out of law school, And then kind of unexpectedly got into cannabis, not because I was seeking out a job in the industry, but because I had actually decided to take a pause on my legal career and start a bakery. Then I went to pastry school and I was making preparations to open a storefront when one of my friends who had a legal dispensary in LA approached me about making edibles. And like you said, there really wasn't an established edible scene at the time. The market was still very much in its infancy and there weren't a lot of options, but people were coming into the dispensaries asking for edibles. And my friend was having trouble finding reliable professional suppliers for that. So there was a demand that wasn't being met. And I was able to come up with a product line for his stores and then expand that.
Let me ask you real quick, Lauren, about the edibles themselves at that time, because, you know, we always hear about every different product being solventless, going through either burnt hash oil or going through a distilling now. And I was wondering, what was the process you had to go through in those early days and what has changed since then that, you know, was so popular and was so appealing at that time to start doing edibles?
Sure. So everything back then was pretty much made with canna butter. And that's what we did. So we would get trim from different cultivators. We would create our own butter. And then we created recipes where butter was already an ingredient or butter could be added into the products. And that was pretty much how everyone was doing it back then and making things like brownies and Rice Krispie treats and cookies. And that was pretty much the extent of what was out there on the market. And then as it developed, a lot of people were looking for candies. So, you know, back then there weren't gummies really on the market. Now that's the most popular edible, but people started with just baked goods. And so we had a demand for hard candies and lollipops specifically at first. So we figured out how to produce those products. And we were still using butter originally in those recipes too. So it was almost like a butterscotch kind of candy. But those were really popular and, you know, did well amongst all the dispensaries, especially for people looking for medical products because they were really easy to consume. And we were always very adamant about having dosing. So, you know, a lot of companies were just making products and didn't even necessarily know how many milligrams were in it or how strong it was. And there were no labeling requirements or testing requirements. And so, you know, we took it upon ourselves to figure out the strength of the different trim that we got, to figure out approximately how much THC would be in each serving, in order to tweak our recipes depending on the flour that we were using for that batch of butter. And we really wanted to have something that was reliable and that was the right dose for someone. So, you know, we were aiming for most products at 20 to 25 milligram per package because we felt like that was a good, safe dose where people could consume half of the product or the full product, depending on their tolerance. And most things could be easily subdivided, you know, and there were some people making like crazy strong brownies that were maybe 100 milligrams, which is, you know, you could take a little bit at a time, but it's too strong for most people. And we also tried to make our products very affordable, you know, based on the strength.
And there were very few, there were very few parameters to work off of. I mean, even with the market, what it is, they didn't really kind of have an idea of what they were talking about when it came to quality control or what should be a proper dosage or what should be properly in ingredients into any product. So you were kind of left on your own. And part of was that autonomy that you had, which that also just goes right into what artistry is all about.
Yeah, so exactly. We were kind of creating things as we went along and figuring it all out ourselves. And to just answer your other question, so now, you know, I'm pretty sure most, if not all, edible makers use oil. So they use some kind of cannabis oil instead of making their own butter, you know, now.
Well, they make their flour. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and those things are much more readily available now. So it simplifies the process for them and makes it easier for dosing and things. But back in the day, everyone was, you know, making these big batches of their own butter because there was nobody else you could get that from at a wholesale level.
But now we're at the point where that's the part that you know, whatever kind of rules or limitations you had there weren't, like, you were kind of like just left on your own. And it's a, there's a, obviously you like to have that room of creativity. So with Artistry, you are blending art and cannabis retail. Cannabis Business Times spoke with you talking about the challenges of the California cannabis market. And there's a whole thing where, you know, you see a lot of different businesses out there that want to have their niche. They want to have what their draw to the store is going to be. But it's also at the same time, you have a very saturated market, very competitive, whole lot of taxes being levied at you on from all different directions, from excise to federal to court to county to whatever there is. It's ridiculous. But you're still going to do all that. Plus, you want to still have the artistic integrity. So you want to make sure the art component is not just a gimmick to just bring somebody in, but it has to be a genuine extension of the cannabis experience. Talk to me about what you're able to do and do that to get both the best of both worlds.
Sure. So when, you know, adult use was legalized in California in 2018, that's when we created the Artistry brand. And we really wanted to use that new legalization as an opportunity to show people what cannabis can really be. You know, that cannabis retail doesn't have to conform with that stigma of this dark place with bars on the windows and, you know, a place that feels unsafe, and that it could just be an extension of mainstream retail and really be a place that any type of consumer could feel comfortable. And we also created the art concept. So we knew that we wanted to be part of the local community. And we also wanted to highlight the connection between cannabis and art, because cannabis has been, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, used as a source of inspiration by artists to open their minds. And it has a lot of creative qualities. And people that aren't artists also frequently consume cannabis when they're enjoying art. So, you know, going to a concert or going to look at an art exhibit. Cannabis could really enhance those experiences. And we knew that. And so we wanted to really flesh out that whole idea in our retail spaces while breaking the stereotypes that, you know, surrounded cannabis retail at that time. And so we came up with our store design, which really looks and feels like a hybrid between an art gallery and a dispensary, where we have art throughout, and it's all for sale by the local artists. So we're not taking a commission on artwork sales. They're getting the benefit of all of that exposure and sales. But we're, you know, really highlighting it through our store layout. So it's not just a few things on the wall in the lobby. It's really the focal point of the experience. And then at the same time, creating a flow of the store that encourages people to walk through and look at all of the items. They can get, you know, they could smell each strain of flower. You have a huge selection of everything, and we guide people through that process. So it's not just that old school counter method, right, or counter model that a lot of dispensaries, most probably still are using, which, you know, feels very antiquated, where everything's just behind a counter and you walk in and someone helped you. We wanted it to feel like, you know, a non-cannabis shopping experience where you could go through and everything.
I've seen through the in the years doing this show, we've had people that talk about how they've created a record store feel to it. So it's like you have all the records on the wall, and just music and cannabis is infused, or there's an aquarium inside a store, so it's giving you like the nature kind of feel to it. So there's those extra attractions to it. Now, with that said, you have, or there's a, you know, if you have the lounges now, you have like a Hall of Fame in one of the lounges in Las Vegas. So now with the two cannabis lounges in L.A., you talked to the Focus Seed about the unique shopping experience that's been created. So with these lounges, you're not just selling cannabis, you're creating that social space. So your aspect on doing the future of cannabis lounges with the art aspect in terms of destigmatizing cannabis consumption, fostering community, you know, when you put these lounges together with that art aspect, tell me how that worked out and what have you also incorporated into it?
Sure. So the lounge was really the thing that inspired us to come up with the Artistry theme. When we were applying for our first licenses under the Artistry brand, the city of West Hollywood was offering not just retail, but also on-site consumption, which was very rare at the time and still is, you know. There still aren't very many cities that are allowing the lounges, but they were one of the first. And they were taking applications and looking for unique and creative ideas. And so we saw the art aspect as something that would fit really well in an on-site consumption environment where we could have visual art on display, but also, you know, performing artists coming into the space and performing and then having other types of events. And so, you know, that's still a crucial component of our lounges is the programming where we have live music, we have drag shows, we have a high tea we just had yesterday in West Hollywood, which is one of my favorite events, open mic nights, comedy shows. So, you know, so many things that pair well with cannabis and that can create this community gathering space that's more than just, you know, a room to come smoke, but there's a communal aspect to everything. And just yesterday I was at our high tea and I was talking to, you know, some guests, some friends, and we were talking about how it's different coming to the lounge than going to another type of social venue like a restaurant, because it does feel like you're just there to hang out and there's this like sense of community and it's relaxing. And it's, I don't know, like when you go to a restaurant, yeah, you're with your group of friends, but you don't feel a connection to everybody that's in the space.
No.
And there's just something about cannabis that, you know, puts people in a good mood. It makes you chatty. It makes you, you know, feel like you could just hang out there and relax and have a good time. And I think for us, the other thing about why we wanted to do lounges was they're crucial for really promoting normalization of cannabis. So sure, we have shops everywhere, but there aren't places where you could smoke legally in public. And it's really important for those options to exist and for them to be on par with other types of social venues like, you know, high-end restaurants or nice nightclubs or bars or lounges. So people can see like, this is a viable alternative to everything else going on right now. Like maybe you don't want a drink, but you could come to a cannabis lounge and hang out. And maybe you're having a meal there. And maybe you're just focused on the cannabis experience. But, you know, we need the public to see that this is okay. This is legitimate. It's safe. You know, this is something that's actually needed because there are so few of them right now. And so the vibe of our lounges was really meant to feel like it could be a nice restaurant in West Hollywood, or it could be, you know, another bar venue in the South LA area for a Hawthorne lounge. And it doesn't just feel like this, you know, what you might think a cannabis lounge would be, which would be dark and really smoky and, you know, not, you know, maybe have these nice design features. And so our, you know, my goal is always to surprise people in a good way when they come into any of our spaces and they're like, wow, I didn't expect it to be this nice. Or, oh my gosh, this lounge is, you know, so bright and airy and we would have an outdoor patio in West Hollywood. So it's all hoping, you know, the hope is just to get more wide acceptance of cannabis and make it more of the mainstream social culture.
Let me give a little bit of. I want to get your chief compliance officer hat on and go into what's going on with the California market, because the ongoing things that are going on where there might be so much tax revenue coming in, but not enough for the government to go and feel they need to go and do more with. They did open up cannabis consumption lounges, which you've been able to benefit from. So there's a lot of a web of state and local regulations, because even the municipalities are also getting their own taxation and also their regulations in place. There's a lot to follow. So even as a lawyer, I can imagine to just kind of stay on top of what changes that are going on in the legislature, it's got to be a lot. So with that, tell me about how you stay ahead of those changes and also with all these new stores coming in to keep that compliance matter and what other entrepreneurs that might be coming in, they might not have the MSOs, but they're looking at your store and they're saying, how are you able to go and do it? How can you go and keep it all together?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a full-time job, which is why I'm our compliance officer. And we have 9 locations now. And every city and county has different rules locally for what they allow, the hours of operation, you know, where you could be located, and taxes. And so there's a lot to keep track of. And things change frequently because this is such a new industry. So cities might update their rules at any given time, or the state.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly, you know, monitoring any changes to the regulations. And then when we go into a new place, I have to, you know, do a lot of research on There are specific rules for when we're applying and when we're designing our space and all of that. But, you know, California as a state and all of these cities aren't making our lives easy. There's so many things that we have to do to operate that wouldn't be required for, you know, any other type of business, including, you know, impositions on where we can locate, how we have to build up the space, the licensing fees we have to pay annually to the state. You know, the DCC fee alone can be $100,000 a year or more just for your annual license. So, I mean, just think about that at any other type of business. How would they be able to pay $100,000 a year just to stay open, in addition to taxes, you know, all the other things that they have to do to comply. And this is why the industry is culturing in California. It's there, you know, and they haven't lowered taxes ever. They're proposing a tax hike coming in July on the excise tax. Yeah. And then each city has its own cannabis tax normally. So customers are buying product at our store and spending 30% taxes on top of their purchase. And that's a huge burden for people. And again, it doesn't apply to any other industry but alcohol. And so it's really, you know, hurting everybody. And the failure of the state is also that they have not in any way reduced the black market here. It's still huge. Mm-hmm. And so that exists. And now, meanwhile, the cannabis operators are all struggling to pay for all these things. And then thirdly, now is hemp-derived THC products, which are just a whole nother thing that, you know, is consumers are going towards those because they're easier to obtain. And that's not regulated. And, you know, I know California imposed a ban at the beginning of this year, but it's not clear they're doing much to enforce that. No. So that's, you know, a whole other thing, which all is compounded, which is making it very hard to stay afloat as a California operator.
Meanwhile, there are those companies that are kind of having to go ahead and they're crashing. They're not able to go and sustain. The others are starting to leave the state altogether. But your team has, you know, withstood all this pressure here and all these regulations, and they're going to continue to expand. So in this competitive environment, the thing is, you've been able to follow what consumer behavior is, the preferences, working around to keep evolving demands, work around and keep your business afloat. What are some of the things you feel like has kept the sustainability for these last 7-8 years right here?
So first, we were very conservative in our expansion plan. So even though we have 9 stores now since 2019, you know, there's other companies where they just try to expand as quickly as possible, which meant taking out a lot of debt to do that, you know, maybe not fully anticipating the costs of build out and ongoing costs. And we didn't do that. We opened West Hollywood and we had our existing Beverly store. That was one of the medical dispensaries that we owned before we applied. And once West Hollywood was up and running and it was generating money, we used that to apply and build out the next store. And we kind of, you know, took that model, and we also were very choosy about where we wanted to open. So we really paid attention to the local market and whether it would make sense to operate there. And so we were able to, you know, maintain a good control of our finances and be very fiscally conservative in that way, which helped us. So we weren't taking on outside funding. And this is where, you know, you see a lot of these big companies like MedMen that have had to go into receivership. And there's tons of brands where this is happening in California, brands or retailers, because they overextended themselves. So, you know, that's the first thing. Secondly, I think because we did really focus on customer experience and this unique concept, we were able to stand out and get a following, and customers feel like, you know, there's something they're getting coming to us that they're not getting somewhere else, because it's hard. Pretty much every cannabis dispensary sells the same products. So if you go to one store and the other, right? So it's hard to differentiate based on selection, although we do curate our products and have local things in each region. And, you know, we try to have the best selection, but the reality is people are going to be able to get the same things at other stores. So we have to find other ways to differentiate ourselves. And, you know, some brands just go to, we'll be the deal store, we'll have the cheapest prices. But if you're not making money and you're not profitable, that method, you know, won't last very long. So we, you know, knew we could never be, that being the cheapest wasn't really going to be sustainable in the long term. So we had to come up with, you know, the customer experience. And we do have lots of sales and deals and ways you can get, you know, really great prices on things. But our strategy as a whole has never been, you know, we're just going to be the best price on everything. It's we're going to have the best customer experience.
Yeah. Let's direct people to the website, theartisttree.com. Theartisttree.com, one word, for the best weed dispensaries in California. Cannabis Reimagined, retail delivery, and art gallery. And again, 9 locations now throughout California. So real quickly, as the people go to the website, you know, there's a lot of deals. The deals you have there. Obviously, you have your new dispensary lounge now open in Hawthorne and South LA. So take me through, you know, what people should go and take a look at the website and what products you want to kind of just point out that people should go ahead and take a look at.
Sure. So you can find information on all of our locations on there. Figure out which one's closest to you. You can purchase products for pickup in store or delivery online. So if you want to browse the venue to see what we have, or you want to actually place a pickup order or delivery order, you could do that. And we have a ton of deals. So I think we have a special web page that you could see all of our promotions each month. So that'll show you daily deals. And we have, you know, every single day of the week, there's some brands that are 30 to 50% off. And then we have other weekend sales. And so we always have a lot happening on the promotional front. And then, you know, people also could just see a lot of information about each product, product descriptions and photos. So we have a huge selection. You also see, you know, each of our stores has 600 to 900 different products, which can be overwhelming, but online you could, you know, separate it by product, category. And if you come to the store, then we can really help you, you know, fine tune your selection. But there's so many options. So really it's just what are you looking for? What effect are you looking for? Do you want something for sleep? Do you want something to just feel good during the day? Do you want to smoke? Do you want a topical cream? It's amazing, you know, how far we've come, like what we started talking about.
Well, but it takes a lot. Well, you also had edibles on the, in the shop as well. So kind of a throwback to before. So the full line of a plethora of products available, again, 9 locations all around California. So make sure, want to find out where the closest is to your neighborhood, it's theartisttree.com. Theartisttree.com. Make sure, one word, and take a look there. And again, Lauren Fontaine, co-founder, chief compliance officer at The Artist Tree. Thank you so much for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking time out. And thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you so much.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a 6-figure business playing video games. Or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.